Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
50-yard punt sends Parker Washington back. He's got a punt return touchdown in his career. And he's got an alley, and he might have his second. 96 yards last year against the Patriots. He's going to house this one. And the Jaguars get the score in special teams. 87 yards. That flips the momentum and the whole temperature of this building.
Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
Adam Amin, Fox Sports, from yesterday. Jacksonville beats the 49ers, and special teams bit San Francisco yesterday, that's for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, the big one, too, was the kickoff after they make it 26-21, and
come
the
on.
Guy brings it back
come
all
on.
The way to the 50, and the next thing you know, they got a short field. They didn't take advantage of it, but it kind of impacted the way the last few minutes went, and the Niners get beat for the first time. Bob Melvin has been fired as the manager of the San Francisco Giants. Buster Posey speaking to the media right now, and I think we have I'm going to play some of that sound from you or from
Buster.
Yes, from Buster Posey. It is right here. This is his opening statement, Buster Posey.
Yeah, I mean, it's not ideal, right? It's definitely not ideal. But unfortunately, we've talked about it a lot, you know, what the standards are for the Giants, and we have high standards. And I hold myself to those same standards. I mean, I understand fully that the position that I'm in now, my job and the team success is evaluated accordingly as well. And, you know, you without a doubt hope that there can be consistency in these leadership positions. And, you know, we've got to get back to a place where, you know, we're getting in the playoffs, we're making runs in playoffs. And that's what our fan base deserves. That's what the city deserves. And, as I mentioned before, or I don't know if I mentioned it, you know, it's when seasons don't go the way you want them, it's never one person's fault. It's never one group's fault. But when they don't go the way you want them, you can't, in my opinion, can't sit there and say, we're going to come back and do the same thing that we did this year for the next year. So, you know, having said that, that's part of why we landed where we landed.
All right. So Posey telling you why they're going in a different direction from Bob Melvin.
Yeah. And, you know, when a team doesn't make the playoffs and the postseason's about to start, Steiny, you look at yourself just from a fan's perspective and you take inventory, and now you get excited because Buster is, like you said, this is new. This is this first time firing a guy, but who are you going to give the baton to? Who do you deem worthy to take you to, you know, get you back to the postseason? Is it going to be somebody like Bochy or something goes funky in Texas, or he decides, you know, to get out of there, or some young whippersnapper or somebody that we don't even see? To me, this is exciting. And I know we will differ, but I just think this team underperformed and underachieved after the Devers trade. And I understand the move.
888-957-9570 is the number. A lot to talk about today. And, you know, it's funny. If you were listening Friday, we kind of were talking about what we might be talking about today. And there were three things on the docket. One is the 49ers-Jacksonville game. The other is Melvin's tenure of at the Giants, which has come to an end. So Bob Melvin is out as the manager of the Giants, and the Warriors are over at Chase Center right now getting ready for media day. Training camp has opened, and they have their first practice tomorrow. Still no resolution on Kuminga, though. They've signed Gary Payton II. What do you guys want to talk about? It's like a potpourri today. You can talk about anything you want. Are you optimistic about where the Giants could go after Bob Melvin? How disappointing was that loss for the San Francisco 49ers yesterday? I'll say this about that loss.
Give it to me, man.
As I'm watching in the third quarter, this is where maybe I do have some Harry in me.
Because they were down 12.
Okay, what do you mean?
Oh, no, go ahead. Because
what does that mean?
Different junctures, you could be like, maybe they're dead. You know.
Well, the point is that midway through the third quarter of that game, and just watching Jacksonville, I don't think they're that good either. I'm just looking at that game thinking, even if they can somehow weasel a win.
Oh.
Yeah, sure. It's great. They'd be 4-0 then. But there were bigger things at play in that game, which to me would have overshadowed the fact that they were 4-0. Like, they didn't deserve to win that game yesterday.
Facts, Donnie.
And so, yeah, they could have strung together one drive late and turned another loss, potential loss, into a victory. But that wouldn't have, to me, concealed the way they played most of that game, which was not good enough. Not good enough. Definitely their worst game of the year. And it's one of the worst games Purdy's played in a while.
No, facts. And I appreciate the honesty. That's how I felt. They didn't deserve to win the game, but yet they had the ball because of a missed field goal. And I'm sitting there, and once Jacksonville missed that field goal, like, my gosh, this team in the red and gold might do it again. But since we have so much going on, this is just how my scattered brain works, Donnie. I just want to throw this to you, because it could be unfair because of the three teams in the Bay that just – the Giants, they made a move. I feel like they're better than what they were. So I think your solution to finding a manager and expecting better play and production next year is real feasible. So I'm in on the Giants competing for a playoff berth next year, even without naming their manager. The Warriors, yeah, they got some OGs. Their age concerns me. But, Stani, I'm saying all that to tell you what I'm worried most about in the Bay right now is a team that's in season, and it's the 49ers. Bosa's gone. You don't got to worry about, is he going to be here, is he not going to be here? And what I saw from that D-line with the youngsters, I didn't see him show up. I didn't see anybody step up. And Ross Tucker joined us last week, and he said, "Goo, asking about Robert Saleh and the job he's done, get at me and call me after this game without Bosa." And I'm like, wow. But, Stani, I just, with the musical chairs and Purdy and the toe and Pierce on the PCL or what have you, like, I'm really worried about the Niners moving forward. How concerned are you about the Niners moving forward with the injury and now what I deem the schedule?
How worried am I about the Niners? They shouldn't be 3-1, but they are, so they got that going for them. I mean, there are probably teams that wouldn't be 3-1 right now, so I think you got to be optimistic about that. But, yeah, the injuries are concerning, but even more than that, Purdy's play on Sunday was concerning. I think it's fair to be a little bit concerned about McCaffrey and running the ball. They didn't get a lot of pressure on Trevor Lawrence.
Didn't get touched.
So, yeah, they got some problems they got to fix. Let's go to Waterman in Corte Madera. Hey, Waterman, how you doing, man?
Good morning, gentlemen. How are we doing?
Hey.
Okay. Well, thanks for taking the call. Just real briefly on Melvin. Yeah, not a shock for the way the season ended up with those guys. I feel like if the Giants had made the playoffs, they probably would have stuck with Melvin for one more year. But kind of not a shock that he's gone. With that being said, going back to the Niners, the D-line, you guys have been making the point, no pressure on the quarterback. I mean, it was kind of scary, because the other scary part of the game was, I can't remember how many times they sent Warner on a linebacker blitz or maybe even a corner blitz, and nobody got home, even with that. And I think they still converted most of those third downs when that happened. So that's really, really the biggest concern, in my opinion, moving forward, and one of the biggest concerns. And as far as Purdy versus Jones, I really feel the reason Purdy started, I think they knew Purdy wasn't 100%, but he was a higher percentage of healthy versus Jones with his knee. I mean, we saw how much Mac was hobbling around towards the end of that game with his knee. I think that PCL thing is no joke. I mean, I mean, obviously he's got a history of it, so that's why I think they went with Purdy ahead of Jones. I think Purdy needs probably four solid weeks to heal, or at least be as close to 100% as possible. I don't want to say like I'm trying to defend Brock, but it does bother me that if Shanahan is this offensive guru and genius that we keep giving him that tag or that title, how come if the opposing defense is clogging the middle of the field like Jacksonville did the entire game, and they keep throwing these mid-range balls into that defense, how come Shanahan can't scheme something up? I continually watch Purdy throw the middle of the field, and okay, he's got to throw the ball a little high. Now, yes, he airmailed a lot of those balls yesterday, but every single play, if you look, he's trying to get it over that mid-range linebacker or safety that's sitting between 5 and 6 yards from the receiver he's trying to hit. And I know he's probably wanting to make sure it's high enough to where that defender cannot touch the ball, deflect it, creating another interception. But then it's, of course, high for the Niners receiver. I'm getting sick. I get sick and tired of this. And of course, we can't run the football, so that's putting more pressure on Purdy to have to throw the ball. Now, look, Mac Jones did great for the first two games, okay? We obviously, he won two games. He threw a bad interception once himself right to a defender that he even laughed about because he acknowledged it. So, but I get tired of everybody harping on Purdy's interceptions. Both of his interceptions yesterday, one was tipped at the line of scrimmage right off the bat.
Yeah. Waterman, I'm going to get you there. I hear you. I thought the one that was tipped at the line of scrimmage was terrible.
I thought it was going to be picked anyway.
It was. Yeah, I thought that was a terrible throw.
Yeah.
And think about it. Think about it. A ball sails when it gets tipped. Like, that was going to sail anyway.
And there you go, Stoney. And Kyle don't need me to defend him. But listen, just about the Kyle component of this, a lot of the relationship to me between a head coach or offensive coordinator and quarterback is trust. He's trusting Brock Purdy to make the right decisions. And on those that one in the middle, the first interception, Stoney, that was just bad. Like, that's a bad decision.
The one to McCaffrey?
Yeah. No, to McCaffrey. Didn't get to him, but just... Yeah. So what do you do by Thursday if you can't manipulate pressure and Matt Stafford is sitting back there? He's going to pick you apart. Like, so this has the ingredients. It's one game, but it has the ingredients of how are the Niners and Robert Saleh going to manipulate pressure? And we got to say something else that happened yesterday that I didn't like from a Niner standpoint, because I'll call them all class acts. I don't know how much of the loss stung Robert Saleh, but what he did, his dust up with the head coach of the Jacksonville Jaguars, I thought it was a bad look for Saleh, Steiny. And then 54, your captain, the man, James Bond, going in, jumping in on the quarterback kneel down is like, you guys had 60 minutes to handle business. You didn't. But Fred, what are you doing, Steiny? I just thought that was a bad look from the Niners.
I mean, he was annoyed that Lawrence was taking the snap and trying to kill more time instead of just taking a knee right away. And he did that. This from the 925 on the Boxer and Gerson Work Injury Attorneys text line. I was wondering what you guys thought about Upton Stout's pass interference call. You're not going to know what I think, what thought of it. I thought it was pass interference. And he got called for it.
Yeah.
The other thing that, you know, and maybe this is a young player. I don't know. Maybe this is where youth gets you a little bit. If he doesn't interfere on that play, it's not a first down. The ball would get caught. It would have set up like a 4th and 3. So if he could have just kept the play in front of him, they probably would have turned it over on downs. I'm not faulting the kid for trying to make a play.
Yeah.
But
he had one against Seattle too in the end zone, and he's young and he's learning.
But that's a play that hurts you.
But it's not why you lost, though, Stoney.
Well, no, but five of those plays are why you lost.
Yeah, and a couple of Shanahan's decisions we hadn't even talked about when Jacksonville was backed up in the play early in the first half to Travis Hunter. they challenge a catch. It was a catch. And then they, you know, they had a penalty that Kyle felt like he declined or got wrong intel, and it allowed Jacksonville to continue the drive and score.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, an Odyssey sports station in the home of the Warriors and the Valkyries, always live on the free Odyssey app and coming to you live from Laughing Monk Studios, Laughing Monk Righteously Brewed in San Francisco. Rick's in the Mission. Hey, Rick, how you doing, man? What's going on?
Hey, what up, Steiny? What's up, Guru?
You got
how you
it.
Fellas doing this morning?
All right.
All right. I'm taking a stroll through the Mission. Gonna meet my pops at a coffee shop, run a couple errands with the guy.
Nice.
The old man, you know.
Sure.
But I worked at the game yesterday. A little something about Rick. I sell beer at the games, all the ballparks, all the venues.
Nice.
I'm hawking. I'm yelling at everybody. Get your beer here. It's a lot louder than that. Pretty obnoxious, but anyway. So I didn't get to see much of the game. Most of it, I was doing my thing. For a guy who watched about 20 plays of the game, I want you and Guru individually, if you would, please give me a very quick rundown of what you think are the most important takeaways from that game yesterday. I've heard a lot. I've seen a bit. I didn't watch the replay. But let's start off with Goo. What happened yesterday, Goo?
They couldn't stop. Yeah, they couldn't stop the run. I felt like Jacksonville was comfortable. They couldn't stop the run, Stoney. And ETN, he was running his ass off. 48-yard off-tackle run. This was smooth. Had guys in the white, red, and gold on the ground. I'm not used to that. But again, that symbol to me, oh, you miss Bosa right away. And then the fact that Trevor Lawrence, he looks the part, Stoney, still quarterbacked his team to a win, never really put it on the Niners, but he had opportunities to do so. He didn't get hit yesterday. Just think about that. He didn't get hit.
Right. I mean,
not a sack. Hit.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's terrible.
Yeah. Rick, I would say that, I would say that the offense played in fits and starts. They didn't look cohesive, I don't think. I mean, sometimes football's easy. They had four turnovers.
Mm.
Game's over. Four
and
turnovers
gave, and
to
gave
none.
Up a punt return.
Well, that's the other thing. I mean, why are we so disappointed in the defense when Jacksonville scored 26 and they scored one touchdown on a punt return? So that drops it down to 19. That should be enough to win a game for you.
But it's like Buster Posey, Stoney. The defense has standards. And I don't think yesterday they met the standards. And you could easily say they're missing their best player. And I was just all week, oh, you got Fred and you got D Winters, you know, who's been a fine. But the bottom line is just how much are you going to miss 97, man, coming off that edge? And you're right. They turned the ball over four times. Then you give up a punt return touchdown. And the defense, Stoney, I'm grading on a curve. They did get Jacksonville to miss a kick. So now you got the ball in pretty good field position, the offense, and Armstead makes the play of his life, you know, knocking it out of Purdy's hands. Purdy's got to be better. And I'm going to say this to Brock. I'll say it to all the Brock stands. And when I set it up like that, it sounds mean. It's not mean, Stoney. I'm even talking to myself. You got the bag. But if you continue to play like this, and hopefully we don't see this, but if you do, people are going to come out with their pitchforks like, nah, that ain't, you got paid. We expect you to take us to the promised land. And now he doesn't have the defense or Bosa helping him. And yesterday I just thought, you know, how much of that, Stoney, if you care or not, I'm asking you, how much do you think his Brock's performance was rust?
It just was. He wasn't very good. He got you beat yesterday.
Almost like who cares if it were rust,
I mean,
right?
Like, and that's the thing. Like the defense to me, they're not in this one for me. Like they
even yesterday without touching the QB,
the 49ers defense gave up 19 points and the offense turned it over four times and the special team stunk. If you want to talk about units, the defense I think was head and shoulders better than any other unit. They might have been, but like they didn't give up 35 points. That game was they did enough to give the offense one last crack at it, and the offense couldn't get it done. So man. I do not. I don't – the defense to me did as well as it could do outside of just completely shutting down Jacksonville. But I got to blame that game on the offense and the special teams.
Yeah, and the offensive line for me, Stoney. This is four games. If this is who the Niners are this year, then you got to – I mean, it's a long haul. If this is how you're going to run the ball with McCaffrey in the backfield, this ain't it.
888-957-9570 is the number. If you're just joining us, a lot of news coming out of the Bay Area sports-wise. The 49ers get beat by the Jacksonville Jaguars, and they've suffered some more injuries. Juwan Jennings and Ricky Pearsall both come out of that game banged up. We'll find out more about them later today. Apparently, Brock Purdy told Kyle Shanahan late last night after the game that his toe was bothering him and it didn't feel great. We'll find out more about that today. Bob Melvin has been fired as the manager of the Giants. Buster Posey talking to the media. We have sound from that we're going to play. We've got the Warriors starting training camp right now. They have their media day. Gary Payton II's been signed. Jonathan Kuminga has not. So we got all kinds of action as it relates to our sports teams. And you know what? We'll talk about anything you want to talk about. You want to talk about the Niners losing? We'll talk about that. You got ideas about what the Giants should or shouldn't have done with Melvin? Let's talk about it. 888-957-9570 is the number.
One important note from Warriors Media Day. One important quote. This is from Steph Curry on the process for Jonathan Kuminga's contract. He said that he respects the process and also added, quote, when he's here and ready to work, we expect him to be locked in.
All right.
That's from Steph Curry.
Steph Curry. Talking about Kuminga. Sounds to me like he thinks this guy might end up on the qualifying offer. Because if he signs a big contract, you got to believe that he'd be kind of happy. But if he's playing on 7.9, his agent's already made it clear that Jonathan's not going to be happy. So we'll see how that plays out the rest of the week.
Yeah, and I'm excited. We got hoops. Unfortunately, Giants are looking for a manager, not in fall in the playoffs, but we got baseball playoffs upon us. And the Niners with the game. Like, if you look at the whole schedule thing, I can't stop thinking about it, Stoney. This game Thursday, you kind of wish it, obviously, you wish it was on a Sunday.
Why?
So guys could get extra time to possibly heal. But right. The fact that my man's waking up, Brock Purdy, telling his coach even last night, something's up with my toe, to me, Stoney, that's you can't play, especially if that you were awful yesterday. And some fans are just wondering, we'll never know, how much was it because of the toe? But those balls, he looked like, and I'm not throwing shade at the kid.
Well, yes, you are.
No, I'm just telling
you. Of course, it's okay. Say somebody, he played like Garoppolo.
No, I said that earlier.
That's no shade.
Yeah.
Just say, like, okay, he was terrible.
But
it
needs to be what I'm preaching is it needs to be a one-off.
Well, has it been a one-off since Christmas of 2 years ago? Since that Baltimore game?
Well, we all decided. Last year was regression. I said it. Yeah.
But
we said that before. We didn't blame him for the 6-11.
I don't know if I'm ready to say Purdy has regressed. I feel like this is the natural adjustment that quarterbacks have to go through after they establish some success and other teams get the book on them, and then they try to take away what Purdy does well, and then he's got to make an adjustment, and then they make another adjustment.
Kittle.
You know, I'm not ready to say he's regressing. I'm ready to say that maybe this is what a quarterback looks like when they don't have the weapons around him that they're normally have. He's had for most of his career up until last year.
No, I'm hearing you. But, Stoney, they played four games. He's played two. So I'm throwing in the availability. The best ability is availability. And he's played half their games. And now there's a chance that he could miss another one. So all that is what prism I'm looking at, too, is, you know, is this just a one-off with the health or – could this be an ongoing thing that lingers and hopefully not, you know, every other week it's up in the air if he's going to be behind it.
What if I just said, look, they signed a small quarterback. He's a smallish quarterback.
But Russell Wilson was small.
That's great. And he's an outlier. Maybe Purdy's going to get hurt. Maybe they signed a quarterback that's really, you know, that's going to have trouble because of his size and because of his, some quarterbacks get hurt more than others. I mean, I'm not ready to say that yet, but I don't
see. If I even thought that, I would hold on to some Benjamins. You know, if I thought the guy's stature was going to be there, like you almost have to just put it in the equation that he's going to get hurt because he's small.
Well, I mean, honestly, that to me is a factor. Mm. You know, I mean, I'm not saying the 49ers made a mistake, but like you've got to put every piece of evidence into your decision making. And he had gotten hurt in the NFC Championship game. You know, he missed one game last year, maybe two tops. So I wouldn't say he's injury prone.
And now this is a toe. So it ain't, you know, somebody fell on you and you were small and you got hurt.
888-957-9570 is the number. 49ers get beat. Giants fire Bob Melvin. Warriors start media day without Jonathan Kuminga, but they do have Gary Payton II now in tow. They've announced that they've signed Gary Payton II, another guy who, over the next three or four months, will probably take some minutes from Jonathan Kuminga at some point during the regular season.
Nothing from Melton, huh? Nothing about Melton?
No, not yet. No Melton news and no Al Horford news. 888-957-9570 is the number. 49er fans, was that more than just a loss yesterday? Did you see things that make you concerned about the upcoming several weeks? 888-957-9570 is the number. What's coming up on the game is brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Ooh, this is the ghost of Trey Lance.
It's the Guru, Steiny Guru, Steiny Guru, Steiny Show. Let's go.
All right, 49ers lose. Bob Melvin's been fired, and the Warriors start training camp today with media day at Chase Center. A lot going on. Gary Payton II's been signed. Jonathan Kuminga hasn't. Buster Posey has talked to the media. We got a lot of that sound we're going to play. And the 49ers get beat yesterday by Jacksonville. Purdy is banged up. Jennings is banged up. Pearsall is banged up. We'll find out more about those guys later this afternoon as the Los Angeles Rams are the opponent on Thursday. And so, I would say this about the Niners right now.
Give it to me.
They're 3-1. They've had a lot of injuries. They've put a couple wins in their back pocket, at least one maybe that they shouldn't have. So if this team were 1-3 and going through what they're going through right now, I think that would be one thing. But they are 3-1, and all indications are that Purdy's not too serious. We'll see. Kittle's on his way back. Jennings, we got to find out about. And Pearsall, hopefully they're not long-term. But the Niners are going to have to weather a storm right now, clearly, over the next 3 or 4 weeks and hope to play some winning football till they get guys back. It's that simple, and they're not 1-3.
Yeah,
they got a couple gifts, and this is why you take advantage of those gifts.
No doubt, but – you know, I'll tell you what, Stoney, you know, if you can give me a name on the defensive side of the ball that's coming back named Bosa, I just wonder if this is their reality. And again, they kept it in realm for the Niners offense to kind of steal it. They didn't. But I'm just looking at Travis Etienne, Stoney. I mean, 124 yards on the day, 6.5 a pop. the whole team average, the Jags, that is, 4.7 on the ground. That's not Niner-like. I know Fred Warner had his hands on a couple balls, but, you know, wasn't able to make an interception. Kittle's coming back, but, you know, I've learned my lesson. When you look at this Niner team, you get so excited about who's coming back, Stoney, and then when that person does come back, you lose somebody else. So I don't know what's going on in regard to the PCL possible injury or light PCL injury with Ricky Pearsall, I believe your best wideout right now. I know Brock was throwing to DeMarcus Robinson. He had one catch yesterday. Juwan Jennings only practiced a couple days last week. Now I don't know who's going to be under center, but you are right. They are 3-1, but good God almighty, Stoney, the fact that they are 3-1, because, you know, nobody has the answer for why they're not able to block up front and establish the running game. So we'll see where this thing goes from here, but with what you got on deck Thursday, then on a plane to Tampa, and, you know, your quarterback, iffy.
Look at it this way.
Yeah.
You got a long week against Tampa. You should have an advantage when you play the Bucs, because you'll have a long week after playing a game against
getting healthy
on Thursday. But, yeah, and, I don't know, maybe this is just me. Here's why I don't really worry about injuries, because if the 49ers keep getting hurt, they're done. Mm. They're just done. Mm. If you're telling me Brock Purdy's going to miss another three games and Kittle's not coming back in week five, it's going to be week eight, and Ayuk's not coming back at all, and Pearsall's in and out of the line, they're just fighting uphill and swimming upstream, and I can't expect a team to make the playoffs if their starting quarterback's going to miss a bunch of time and all their key players are going to miss a bunch of time. Like, it's just not a recipe to succeed in the NFL.
And I've been throwing some rocks at Brock Purdy, but they're not even rocks. I'm just telling you what I saw yesterday and what I didn't like. But we had not mentioned, and maybe you did not in here, Stoney, he was a victim of some drops. Kendrick Bourne had the biggest drop of the game to me. So, you know, the Purdy stood in there, threw for 300 yards. He was bad. I stand on that. But, Stoney, we can't ignore, some guys had some dropsies that affected, you know, the Niners' output in regard to scoring points. That happened.
And it did. And two things can be true. They dropped some balls and he stunk. Mm. Let's go to Delta Lifestyle. Hey, Delta Lifestyle, how you doing, man?
I'm good, guys, and everything you say is just right on. I believe what you've been saying just recently, especially Goo. You know, we've got a team of injured players, and you don't know who's going to show up next week. We've got a lot of young studs who will develop into great players, most of them. And Kyle told us before the season even started, he said, it's going to be a tough season. And if you look at Philadelphia, there's no way, even if our guys were healthy, we're going to match up well against Philadelphia if we get to the playoffs. So I look at this year truly as a rebuilding year, and we need to get an offensive line by draft and trade by next year, because it all starts at the line. And especially if you're cycling guys in and out and you have crummy line play, we don't stand a chance. So, frankly, I'm pretty thrilled we're at 3-1. Was yesterday rough? Heck, yeah. Nobody played well. Warner played well. That was about it. We got some work to do, but we need to temper our expectations. Let's grow these young players. It's a great time to do that. But let's get that offensive line fixed, since we've been talking about for, 10 years? 20 years?
As long as Shannon has been here. Yeah, thanks, Delta Lifestyle from Discovery Bay.
And Stoney, did you notice this? It's 14-3 right before the half. The Niners have first and goal, and the first play, I'm not saying the play was wrong. It's a handoff to McCaffrey right up the middle, but it just felt like Jacksonville had a wall, just like cutting their nails or what have you, just waiting, and it went nowhere. There was no push. And I'm just not used to that from the Niners running game. But it felt like that against Arizona. It felt like that against Seattle. Why all of a sudden has the, even down in the, right before half, Stoney, you turn around, give it to Brock, McCaffrey, and it's just like, it's almost a just giveaway down. There's no push at all.
That's an offensive line issue, it sounds like, to me.
It is.
I'll tell you what. We have the best producer, one of the best producers working for us. And I don't like to put him on the spot, but I'll tell you what. If somebody could come up with this stat, I'd be ecstatic.
Oh, he just, how you tell?
So, so 49ers scored on their first possession yesterday.
Field goal.
Yeah, but they scored. I would love to know what Kyle Shanahan's percentage is of scoring drives. Every 49er drive in his tenure. You don't have to do it. I'm just kind of bringing it up.
But I want
to
see where you're every 49.
Every 49
stat you ask for is so complicated and specific. And you use it for 5 seconds.
Because I go deep.
No, you ask for something that takes 20 minutes to search for that's going to get us 5 seconds of material.
He said you won't use it
long. This may get you more. Get you more. Okay, so this is his ninth year, and there have been 9 seasons worth of drives, okay? I'd like to know the percentage of drives that the Niners have scored on in the Shanahan tenure, and then take away all the scores on the first series of every game, because they score on the first series of so many games.
So the first 15.
With that scripted thing, and then it does feel like they have way more success on that first drive than subsequent drives. And then maybe if you find that out, what we'll find out is, most teams score most often on that first drive. And I'll be like, oh, okay.
So what you're asking for is not just the Niners the last 9 years.
We could start there.
You're asking for, excuse me, all 32 teams and their non-scripted scores to compare and contrast for you to then say, Shanahan's actually not that great for the next 10 seconds. Meanwhile, I just spent 2 years searching through every single drive of all 32 teams for the last 9 years.
That's a lot of data.
What do you mean?
It means that I'm not going to do that.
What if we find out that the 49ers in Kyle Shanahan's tenure have scored on 35% of their possessions, one out of three. Yeah.
I would say it's higher.
Okay, but let's just say that.
Yeah.
Okay, now you take out the first series of every game, which would be 17 times 8, and maybe after that, they only score on 19% of their drives. See what I'm saying?
But I think you're saying,
script out of his hand, he's got nothing.
So you say he doesn't adjust well?
I don't know, I'm just
after
curious.
The first 15.
I don't know.
That's where you're going.
No, I just want the numbers checked, maybe I'll be proven wrong. Maybe somebody will be like, Stine, actually Shanahan scripted plays, they score less on those first series than 72% of the teams. That way I could say, I guess that's not it. So I'm just throwing it out there. I don't know. It just feels like, boy, do they score on that first series a lot.
I'll tell you this. I was listening to Adam Amin, the announcers, and Mr. Butt Fumble, and I'll tell you this, Donnie, they were talking about how Jacksonville, and we've seen this in the NFL, the defense, when you have an identity and you're able to turn the other team over, watch out. And through 3 games, Jacksonville has had success doing that, and they come in and get 4, and I'm just like, they just peppered it all throughout the game every time there was a fumble or interception, and Jacksonville's done it again. Stoney, the Niners' last 2 opponents, ask me how many times they've turned the ball over. Arizona, that's a problem.
And I thought this team flies to the ball.
Well, they used to.
Okay.
But this year, in regard to the turnovers and the defense, you could say, those things come and go. But, man, how many times has that been part of the Niners defensively, their DNA, and it's just not happening? And again, I just watched – it was so symbolic to watch – Trevor Lawrence hit the tight end in the flat on the little baby rollout and just throw it to him, ball game. Arizona had that same chance, couldn't do it. But, man, I just don't feel like opposing quarterbacks are under the same distress as Brock Purdy and Mac Jones when they're back there. Because Jacksonville was closing. Because that pocket was closing in. You could see arms just like tree branches, Donnie, that's just making it difficult. And that's how the game ended, knocking the ball out of Brock's hand.
See, TG on the YouTube chat said, Evan Steiny did say you were the best, though, before he ever asked that question. I guess you did just gloss over that. And then secondly, Chicago Jason said, Evan said, that's not your job.
Wow, that's
not my job. I can get somebody else
And then, and can I say something else?
Well, I'll get happened last Monday.
I'll get somebody else to ask these questions.
Don't
hey,
you love when
you weren't here? You don't know anything about it.
Yes, he
don't speak to something point. You don't know about.
He reached out. I need a confession.
I'll leave for one day.
I don't know where you're at, but I need you. Listen, on my notepad, Stoudy, I jotted this down. First play of the second half.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Jacksonville kick returner doesn't let the ball go out of bounds to get the ball at the 40 and catches it out of bounds and gave the Niners defense like, I'm like, that's going to cause you to lose a game, but the Niners didn't make them pay. But dude, sometimes I think, what are you guys? Do you study at all? Do you, the ball was going out of bounds, let it go, but dude catches it out of bounds.
But Trevor Lawrence.
That was...
It almost cost him the game. And then he tries to go, no, I did get down in time. No, he didn't.
Oh,
boy. Wasn't even close.
In the two-point conversion, he's yelling at one of his receivers as if they did something wrong. I'm like, dude, you threw a horrible pass. They tried to give it away. How about that? And the kicker missed the kick.
I don't understand why they went for two at 26-14. And I get it. I'll get two, so then it's 28-14. But I'm like, take every point you can get. You make it 27-13, 27-14. And then the Niners score to make it 20. Like, that field goal could have sealed the game if they would have gotten a one-point conversion. He missed it anyway, so it didn't matter. But, like, that is the way I look at it. Okay, so it's 20
points, not eight.
It's like 26-14. Okay, you want to get it to 28-14. But it's like, they're going to need two touchdowns. So... And even if they get two touchdowns, if you get 1 point
I hear you.
Then you can still win the game with one field goal and they get two touchdowns.
Right.
So I didn't like that one personally. But
as bad as that was, I was ready, and this is just how I watch games. I won't apologize. When that kick sailed wide right, Stoney, I go, you gotta be kidding me. They're gonna pull another one out at home. And they didn't. And now you got Ricky Pearsall. His availability, and I know but we got a game Thursday, Stoney, but when does this end for this team?
When does what end?
These injuries, because what you said was real, and you got me thinking, goo,
dealing with it. Seriously. You ready? You ready for this?
But there's a price
to
pay.
It's not a crybaby Monday.
No.
It's a suck-it-up loss Monday.
No, I'm not crying.
We are hurt.
But now you're starting
we're
to
hurt.
Pay the piper for
you
that.
Okay, win two games in the next 3 weeks, or win one or two games in the next 4 weeks when these guys aren't going to be 100%. There's nothing else to do. Mm. You get hurt all the time, so you got to win when you're hurt. And yes, the next 3 weeks are probably going to be tough if Pearsall doesn't play, if Jennings doesn't play.
Or even Brock. Or is that, maybe, I don't know.
Let's go to Ryan in Irvine. Hey, Ryan, how you doing?
Hey, guys. Hey, thanks for the call. And I love listening to you guys, really. I love your perspective on these games. And, you know, the loss sucks, but I do like hearing your guys' takes on, you know, what we saw yesterday. You just had a caller that called in and he mentioned how Kyle Shanahan kind of tempered expectations for Niner fans. He did. He said, hey, we're going to go through some growing pains, but he was mostly referring to the fact that we have so many young, you know, rookies on our team. We have a lot of moving parts. We weren't able to sign veterans. We lost a lot of players. So he was kind of tempering expectations. That is true. But what he didn't mention is anything about the offensive line not being good, and if he thinks that this offensive line is good, which you hear him talk about this line, you hear Chris Forrester talk about this line, you'd think that they're like elite, top five. So there's a blind spot there, and it's maddening because it's like, man, what? How do you not see what we're all seeing? You know, the second blind spot is the fact that Brock was hurt. He was clearly hurt and not up to his full potential and capabilities. I listened to a lot of the reports coming out of the training this week, and pretty much everybody, whoever you listen to, because they all kind of have differing reports, they all have a little bit of their biases. Every one of them said Brock doesn't look healthy. He's sailing balls. They're all high. He does not look ready to go. So you're telling me Kyle didn't see this throughout the week? Meanwhile, Mac is also hurt.
Yep.
But he did not look like he's not up to his potential to be able to make this start. So I think Kyle has a blind spot when it comes to injuries or potentially trying to keep things from happening that will just have a snowball effect. Brock's right. Not going to start this Thursday. It's going to be Mac. That's another scheduled loss because the Rams are going to destroy us on Thursday. But if you would have just sat Brock out, because you can, Kyle, you're the head coach. I don't care if Brock is your leader and he has to play. No, sit him down, rest him for a long bye week. Get Mac out there. He's your $50 million franchise quarterback. If Kyle could have had a little more control of his team, same concept goes for CMC. Well, if he would have had a little more foresight, I think it would have had a benefit to the team long term.
Well, and Ryan, thanks for the call. The only thing to me missing from that is we don't know how hurt or healthy Mac Jones was. What if Mac Jones were hurt worse than Purdy, which I now have to assume he was.
Man.
But I don't know that for sure. I think he went with Purdy because he thought Purdy was good enough to go.
And that's all the report, not to cut you off, Stoney. I thought from my vantage point, I heard last week, he's rolling out in practice, Purdy. I never heard that the balls were sailing high and he didn't look like he was ready. I hadn't got that.
Evan showed me one of Purdy's runs yesterday. It was an 11-yarder where he kind of scrambled up the middle.
Yeah.
And then he was between two defenders, and he didn't dive. And he showed me the play from, like, the back. And maybe I'm looking at it and wanting to find something. He didn't really have his burst. I do feel like he was maybe just a hair tentative. And maybe it was the foot. Maybe it was the defense.
High in medicine balls, Donnie, do you need a burst? Or are you saying he couldn't plant and throw? Because that's what
I'm saying. I don't think he ran. I don't think he was very mobile.
On that 2-point conversion he got out of there and the one Jennings got hurt on and popped, but they converted it. You know, he was shifty. Listen,
Do you think he was as mobile as he's always been?
No. And now I'm wondering, did he go because Mac wasn't available and they didn't want Martinez in there?
Well,
like this is one of
his worst games. Then you made a mistake. Because then you played Purdy, he wasn't ready, now he's going to miss Thursday's game, and you lost that game anyway. Like, to me, there's no, if you're going to play, I look at it as though if Purdy played, he was well enough to play, and now he got banged up again, we got to deal with it. But the way we talk about injuries all the time, leading up to the game with, I'd be this careful, that careful, I wouldn't do this, I wouldn't do that. The reality is that if you are somebody, a fan that's worried about Purdy or that was worried about Purdy, I'd be a little pissed today. I think you'd have that right to say, I mean, if I'm a 49er fan and I say, geez, I mean, the guy wasn't healthy. That was obvious.
But how many
would that be unfair?
Yeah. Fred Warner played on a broken ankle.
But we're talking about a quarterback here.
Yeah.
We're talking about your franchise quarterback. I'm just saying, if there's a 49er fan out there that's upset because Purdy got more banged up in that game and you wanted to hold him out for precaution, then yes, be upset about playing him because you didn't get anything out of it.
Yeah, but not him, but the management, like the coaching staff.
Right, Shanahan. Like, what? I mean, if ever there would be a day to hit Shanahan, it would be today.
But you, I mean, goodness gracious. You know.
Well, that's my point. On Thursday and Friday, everybody thinks they know, and they say, well, we can't, you know, don't play Brock Purdy. Yeah. Okay, well, he played Brock Purdy, and guess what? It looks like he shouldn't have. That's, isn't
that
obvious?
And now you're saying his availability
but isn't
for
that
this
obvious?
One is in doubt.
If, and I'm not saying it was or it wasn't, but I thought it was obvious he wasn't 100% or he wasn't his best self. Was it the injury? How could it not be partly injury?
But to keep
injury?
It real, Steiny, this may be his new reality. He may never have that
then
again.
You're, again, I hate to say it, then you're not going anywhere. No. If Brock Purdy's not mobile, you're not going anywhere.
Like, you know, I hear you, but you there's really nobody
you know
to
what?
Be
He'll
mad
probably
at.
Be, yeah, he'll be. What if I told you he's going to be less mobile now Thursday than he was yesterday?
I wouldn't be shocked.
Okay, well, then that's going to get you beat. You know, those are the kind of decisions that end up hurting you. Because maybe you go into that game with Mac Jones if he was good enough, or hell, even Aaron Martinez, you lose, but Purdy doesn't wake up today with a foot on fire or a toe on fire, and then maybe he's really ready to go Thursday. Like,
yeah, I got
you. Trust me, I'm not here to, like, this isn't what I do a lot, but I mean, you played Purdy and he got re-injured. That's the bottom line. And on Thursday and Friday, all we talked about was who should play, what percentage should we get a guy out there, what's he got, yeah. Is he 100%, is he 80? Well, you decided to play Brock Purdy and he got hurt again. And now we got to figure out if he can even play on Thursday. But no, like, that's something that I think would be fair to criticize Shanahan on today, that piece of bad luck or bad fortune or that injury. 888-957-9570 is the number. If you're just joining us, big sports day in the Bay. Try to keep track. We've got Bob Melvin. He's been fired as the manager of the San Francisco Giants. We have the Warriors starting training camp today. It's wow. Media day. And Gary Payton II is signed. Jonathan Kuminga, still no resolution there. So that's going to go on probably another day or two. We'll see. And then the San Francisco 49ers, they get beat yesterday 26-21. And they come out of that game with some more injuries and some more uncertainty about Brock Purdy, some more uncertainty about Ricky Pearsall and Juwan Jennings. But the worst part probably for them is that there is a game Thursday, so they got to turn this around in a hurry. 888-957-9570 is the number. I see Damon. I see Tony. I see Bob. We'll get to you all on the other side. 888-957-9570 is the number. That segment was brought to you by Safeway.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.